Bibles, if you would please, today, and open up to Psalm chapter number 18 in the Word of God today. Psalm chapter number 18 in the Word of God. If those of you who are visiting with us, we've been in a series now, a journey in the Psalms, and we've been looking at verse by verse through several chapters now here in the book of Psalm. And as you find your place here in Psalm chapter number 18, would you please stand with me for the reading of God's Word, Psalm chapter number 18, and would you look with me at verse number one this morning is where we're going to start. And we were here before Mother's Day several weeks ago, and then my family was gone, and so we kind of laid a foundation. This is looking back 3 weeks ago now, and we'll look at verse number one, but really going to dive into verse number two today here in Psalm chapter number 18. Would you look with me here at verse number one? The Bible says this: I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. This morning I'd like to preach a message once again entitled, What God Is to Me. What God Is to Me. Let's go to Him in prayer. Father, thank You, Lord, once again that we are assembled here, Father, in this local church. Lord, we want to learn about You now. Lord, I ask, Savior, that You'd clear our minds and our thoughts and our worries and our concerns. And Father, may we concentrate on You for just a moment. Father, we will walk out of these doors totally empty if we don't empty ourselves right now and ask, Lord, to fill us with Your Word, to fill us, Savior, with what You would have for us today. May Your Word not return void, but, O Savior, would affect our hearts and our lives. Lord, we need You. We want You. And we invite You here. In Your Son's holy and precious name I pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. We have seen through the ages and through societies and through cultures that many have a God in their life. There are many that would take something in their life and they would put it up on a pedestal. They would worship it. They would go to it. Many, even in the culture, in the day and age that you and I live, have a God, little g, but they do not know the true God. For those of us who are saved in this room today, we've placed our faith and trust in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We have asked Him to forgive us of our sins. We have placed our trust in Him. We believed in the death and the burial and the resurrection. And we will see Him again one day. We are what the Bible says. We are born again. We know that we have a God. We know that we have God living inside of us. But still we must ask the question, what is God to you and I? Who is God to you and I? We saw several weeks ago that even Jesus asked this question of His disciples when He said, whom do men say that I am? And they answered and said, well, some say John the Baptist, but some say Elias, and others say one of the prophets. And He saith unto them, but whom do ye say that I am? But Peter answered and saith unto Him, thou art the Christ. You see, many are confused at what is or who God is to them. Too many living in a Baptist realm, living in a Baptist world, or raising their kids in a Baptist church. To many, He has just been a fire insurance. They got saved at a VBS. They got saved in youth group. They got saved at a youth camp. Or they were brought up in church, and they know that they're going to see Him face to face one day. They know that they're never going to go to a place called hell. They're going to go to a place called heaven. And they just kind of live out their days by a religious checklist. And they just kind of go throughout their busy lives. And I know I'm saved, but I kind of dabble in the Word of God. And I pay my tithes, and I get to church every once in a while. And really, to them, it's just like, okay, I'm saved, and now God's over there, and God, I'll see you again one day. But while I'm here on this earth, I'm just going to live my life. To others, He is almost the genie in the bottle. We don't talk to Him. We don't dig into the Word of God. We never really have anything to do with Him until we're going through a very tough time in our life. And at that time, that's when we need Jesus. That's when we need to find our car keys. That's when we need to be healed of cancer. That's when we need to get out of this big bill that we've have due now. And isn't it amazing that many treat God as though He's just this genie in a bottle, and I'll go to Him when I'm in trouble, and 1, 2, 3, give me some wishes, and okay, good, thank you, God, I got out of it. I'll see you next time I'm in trouble. To many, He's just a genie in a bottle. To those, maybe others that are even in this area, He can't really be comprehended. He's a God that's in heaven, and we know that there's some being up there, but we don't really truly understand what it is or who He is or how He interacts with humanity. And so, maybe one day when we cross the great divide and we leave this whole world behind, I guess then at that time we'll understand Him. But what I love about the very Word of God, listen very carefully, is that the Word of God lays out for you and I who and what God is to us as Christians living today. Now, if you're unsaved, if you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, comprehend this very carefully. Some of the points today are not going to make sense to you. It is not going to be like this pastor who's standing up here, who has been saved and has Jesus Christ living inside of my heart. Listen, some of these points today are not going to make sense. You're not going to comprehend the joy, or you're not going to comprehend the peace, or you're not going to comprehend the delight that we have in God. But if you're saved today, what I love about this passage of Scripture is it lays it out very clearly for us what and who God is to you and I. But what I love about the Word of God is that we don't have to battle over this. We don't have to go back and forth in a tug of war of which one is more important. And, oh, well, who do you say God is? Well, who do you say God is? Well, what do you think God is? Well, here's what God is. Well, that's not what my grandma said. That's not what the pastor down the street said. That's not what the televangelist said. What I love about the Word of God is that you and I have a foundation, and the Word of God in all its sincerity and truth and infallibility lays out for you and I what and who God is to us living today in 2021. David began to write this psalm in a very troubling time in his life, and he had just come through a great victory, as you can see there in that little inscription before the verse number 1 comes in. And now David begins to pen some great words about God, and we're going to take these words and apply them to our life as well. Number one, if you're taking notes, and I'm moving a little bit quick, we've got a baptism, and I really want to get into verse number 2 today, so buckle your seatbelt here for just a moment. Let's get through this, and then we'll slow down here in just a moment. Number one, He is our delight. Look at the Word of God. Look what it says here. It says, I will love thee. The word love here is a word that means to love deeply. The word speaks of a tender intimacy. It carries, as we saw several weeks ago, this idea of a mother's love for an infant child. That's one of the greatest loves we have to demonstrate today, is that that innate nature that is inside of a mom, inside of a female, to want to be around and to hug and to look at and to make goo-goo eyes at what? A little baby. And the psalmist is saying here, he's giving this idea of so much love that you want to be close to them. You don't want to be irreverent. That's all we're talking about here. But the psalmist is telling us that he's filled with such love for the Lord that he wants to just get up very close to Him. And considering, listen very carefully, everything that God has done for us, I think it would do us well to have the same mindset that we want to be close to and love our Savior. How many by an amen today would say, I love Jesus Christ? Would you say amen? But do we show it? Do we show it? See, we all love something, and that something that we love in our life, we hold out on a pedestal. We put much time into. Many men, maybe like me, or maybe even ladies in here today, you like sports, and we watch sports, and we talk about sports, and we argue about sports, and we debate about sports, and it's something that we enjoy. For some ladies in here, you enjoy whatever, HGTV, or Michael Kors, or Kate Spade, or shopping, or whatever you guys, y'all are into today, or cooking. I think even some like to still cook, whatever you as ladies are into, understand we love to talk about those things. But, you know, as we come into the local church, as we come into here, you know the number one thing we ought to be talking about? Yes, sir. Weather. No. Sports. The Colts. Well, no. What we ought to be talking about is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That ought to be at the forefront of our mind. He's our delight. Delight is something, well, it's good. We like it. You know, it's something that we can rejoice in all together. I love that what we're talking about now, or really a lack of, we're not talking about the coronavirus as much anymore. And it's in the past, and it's going away, and the vaccines and everything that has worked, and it's kind of behind us. And what do we delight in? We delight in healthy, and we can come in, and we can worship our Savior. And for many of high school students in here today, you're delighting in that there's 2 weeks of school left. Maybe the teachers are a little bit more excited about that than the kids are, you know what I'm saying? But understand that. We delight in that. We delight in, after this sermon here in about 2 hours, we're going to go. Just kidding. We're going to go and we're going to hit the restaurants and we're going to eat. And don't you love when that waiter or waitress comes over and they pour in that Diet Coke and you can just see it filling up with the little bubbles and the aspartame. Oh, it's so good. And it gets up there and we delight in that first drink. We delight in that hot plate over at grandma's house or over at the in-laws, whatever the case might be. We delight in. Shouldn't we delight in Jesus Christ? Look at what He's done for us. We tell our wives all the time, we love you. We tell our husbands all the time, we love you. We tell our kids or grandkids or tell brother and sister Christ, we love you. How much time do we spend saying, Lord, I love Thee? But look what the psalmist says. He says this, I will love Thee, O Lord, my strength. He calls God His strength. 9 times in these first 2 verses, David uses the personal possessive pronoun, mine. He's using this pronoun that is saying, look, He is what? He is my strength. What David is doing is expressing a simple faith in the relationship with the Lord. He is telling us that he is totally dependent upon the Lord for everything. Every ounce of his strength came from the Lord. And it's amazing. Oftentimes we wonder why so many are giving up today. Giving up over corona or bills or health or relationship or sin or depression or enemies or social media or bullies. Or isn't it amazing how many are giving up? And yet Jesus says in His Word, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. We must get back to finding our strength in the Lord. He's our delight. But number 2, would you write this down? He is our dependence. Look at verse number 2 here and watch what the psalmist says. He says this, the Lord. 2 words, the Lord. David allows us to see his heart in worship, engaged and praising the object of his love, which was God. Now tune in for just a moment. I'm going to say this quickly and we'll move on. Just because we're here in church today, as the bride of Christ, doesn't mean that we are worshiping him. Now, I'm not going to meddle in, but let me just put it this way. You could sit here and you could sing every words that were up here today or in your hymn book. Doesn't mean that you're worshiping God. You see, in the day and age we live, there are many Christians who spend much of their time not handing out tracts and not getting folks saved and not soul winning or not planting seeds or planting in relationships. You know, there are many Christians today that spend all of their time in worship wars of what I think is best and what I want. I think this way and I think this way and I associate with. Can I just say this? Listen, friend, we did not come in here today to worship each other, and we did not come in here today to be entertained, and this is not a circus, and this is not an interpretive dance club, this is not a country club. Friend, may I just put it this way, this is church, and God must be worshipped. The kids who sang up today, they were really cute. I think we had 4 kids up here singing today, didn't we? Yeah, we had the twins in the first, and the girls, Lois and London were in the second.
put it this way. On the way to church today, they're not in here, so please don't go back and tell them this because they'll never hear this. But we had a conversation on the way to church today, and Lois was in an absolute panic because she didn't know all the words to the song. I mean, she's in a panic. I don't know all the words. I told Brother Eric, and Brother Eric, you said, well, my son knows. I think you were bragging a little bit. You're like, well, my son was singing on the way to work or on the way to church today. I'm like, well, good for you. I did say, well, he better carry him because Lois said she didn't know all the words. Can I just say this? Look, these kids standing up here today, they were cute and they were adorable, and even Eric's little boy knew all the words. Yeah, they're all cute and they're all wonderful, but let me put it this way. I want our kids here at Cross Point Baptist Church to not think that this is just a show. Was it cute? Absolutely. Wonderful? Yes. Great. Thank the Lord for all of our teachers who week after week after week training them and teaching them. And I'm sure even if their teachers were in here, like, why would, I don't know why Lois didn't know. We've gone over 1,000 times, you know, I'm sure. But I just said, you know, it's really more than just getting up and singing and performing. It's really about the heart and worshiping the one who is worthy. I don't want us to come in and just run through songs today and just, you know, we ought to be thinking about who we are here to worship. God forbid Cross Point Baptist Church or any other Baptist church in this area ever get into wars of what's right and what's wrong and associated with this, that. And next thing you know, we're all coming in. We're all arguing over words of a song. We're all arguing over, well, who did that? Well, I didn't get to play the piano. Well, I didn't get to sing. And I was on Sunday night and schedules and this and that. Can I just tell you, friend, Satan is in that. And I'm telling you, it splits churches. And you and I ought to come in here. And I'm not, if you're visiting with us, they say, man, there was much trouble in the camp. There's not trouble in camp. I'm just giving us a warning today. We are going to come in and continually praise the one who is worthy. And it's not a deacon, and it's not a pastor, and it's not someone who gives a lot of money in the offering plate. The one who is worthy, his name is Jesus Christ. He is the Son that was sent by God. He reached out his arms. He died for me and you, friend. He is worthy. He is worthy. Oh, he's our dependence. It's praise for a personal God. It's also praise for a powerful God. And here David begins to go into these metaphors of what God is to us. Notice how David describes God and his power in our lives. Look at verse number 2 and watch with me. It says, I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. Verse number 1. Verse number 2 now. The Lord is my rock. You see, God is our stability. And David describes God as a rock. David is reminding us when it appears that the world is spinning out of control, the believer can stand above it all when he stands in the Lord. Have you ever felt in your life that your life is out of control? Have you ever felt like in your world or your work or your marriage or raising kids or maybe a coworker or a boss or maybe even your health or a doctor's plan? Have you ever felt like in your life, my goodness, this world is my world, my realm, my culture, my society, my life, I just can't handle it anymore. Now let me talk very clearly for just a moment. Now listen, watch. This is not always popular, but I just feel compelled. I'm just going to say it. Much of the lost world, when they have those feelings, give up. Giving up, friend, leads to discouragement. And discouragement almost always, if not dealt with, will lead to depression. And depression in the lost world is very hard to deal with. It's not easy. Because depression or darkness or the realm of I can't control can only be controlled in their minds as, well, having positive thinking. But positive thinking will only get you so far when you look at the context of your life and it's falling apart. Positive thinking is great. Think about a butterfly and think about a beach or think about a book in front of a fireplace and a mountain or a cabin or snow or whatever brings you joy. That's good and that's great. But let me just tell you, when you stop thinking about that 2 or 3 minutes later, what happens? You sink right back into the depression that you're in.
So then therefore what the world will turn to oftentimes is a pill that will be prescribed by maybe a psychiatrist or a doctor. And you can take this pill, and what this will do is it will alter your mindset. And I'm not against pills, and maybe some even in this room are on antidepressants. I'm not telling you to stop taking your antidepressants or stop taking your pills. I'm not a doctor, and maybe it's needed, but I am saying this. Oftentimes, if you read the back of those antidepressant pills, listen very carefully, the pills of themselves say, look, side effects may include headaches, diarrhea, this or that. And oftentimes on the very pills that are being given to take you out of this depression says this, could even include thoughts of suicide. Friend, I don't know where you're at in your life. And maybe somebody in this very room this past week had thoughts of ending it all. Call it quits. I'm not saying, listen, that we're talking about young people. I'm talking about elderly. I don't care what life stage. Somebody in this very room right now. Oh, pastor, come on. We don't know that. So, friend, let me talk to you for just a second. Stop. Don't ever have those thoughts. We love you. Somebody help me out. Amen. Jesus loves you. He loves you so much that He died for you. Now, I can say I love you, but I never died for you. You say, would you die for me, Pastor? My family, girl, my wife sitting up here, without a doubt. But Pastor Foe, let's be honest. Somebody asked us if we're going to die for him. I don't know. I never faced that before. But I do know this. God already sent His begotten Son, and He died for you. And He stretched out His arms and said, it is finished. You know what that means? Stop having those thoughts. He is your rock. Look, I'm all for doctors, and I'm all for getting help, and I'm all for counselors. Well, let me just put it this way. They're good and they're a help, but they're not my rock. My rock is Jesus Christ. Look, there's some great teachers in here. There's some great preachers in here. But let's just put it this way. This church is not built upon preachers. This church is not built upon Thomas Shepherd. This church is built upon Jesus Christ. He is the rock. He is the eternal one. He is our very best friend, but He's also the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He's everything to you and I. And friend, when you start having thoughts of, look, coronavirus and bills and, my goodness, society and the wickedness and Hollywood and Israel being launched rockets at it and all Twitter blowing up and Facebook and insinuations and oh, my world is just sinking down. Listen, friend, I don't care what you're going through. You have a Savior, and upon that Savior is your rock. Upon that Savior, listen, friend, you don't have to have thoughts of quitting. Amen. Because you're loved. Well, that's good and great, but I don't have what so-and-so has. Yep, you're probably right. But you are perfect just the way you are. Did you know? Now listen, it gets tense in here and like, oh, it's not my favorite to preach on. But if God says to preach it, I'm just going to preach it. It's not even in my notes. None of this is in, but I'm just going to say it. Look very carefully. Did you know that every one of us is created in His image? Everybody, we're created in His image. Do you know what that means? You were created by the God who created the universe. Now, all of us could compare with others, and we like to have, somebody else's, whatever. She's got, more of this, and he's got more of that. There are people out there, look, that's got more hair than I do, and I'd love to have their hair, but God gave me the hair that I've got, and He's given me my ministry, and look, I can get out there and compare with everybody else, and oh, woe is me, and I'm down, but when it comes back to it, God created Thomas Shepherd just the way He wanted Thomas Shepherd to be, and I'm okay with that. You know why? Because do I really think I could do better? I couldn't.
In the world we live in, friend, look, it's a mess. Say, Pastor Trevor, I got visitors here today. If you could kind of make this a little bit more positive, that would be wonderful. Okay, all visitors here, just hold on just a moment. The world we live in is very dark, okay? We've talked about it before. Hollywood's not for our kids. They're not putting out good, godly messages. If you agree with that, say amen. There's not. They're not for us, okay? Government, I understand. I get it. I'm just not a Republican versus Democrat, but I'm just telling you right now, the way that we are going, government is not just always going to be on our side. I'm thankful we live in Indiana, and I'm thankful we've got good men and women up there that love the Lord, and I praise the Lord for men like Brother Eric Miller that's up there fighting for us all the time. I praise the Lord for that. But let me just put it this way. Government, no matter what, doesn't matter. I've read Revelation. Our American government's not always going to be pro-local church, pro-pastor. Go ahead, preach it more and more. But we've seen that since the 1940s. We don't have more prayer in public schools. We have less. We know our churches aren't as much. They're getting smaller. We weren't even called to prayer. This is how much our government thinks about us. We were not even last year called essential. They put us with, you ready this? The category of Chuck E. Cheese and Six Flags and Disney World. It's entertainment. I know we laugh at that, but that's what our government thinks about us. Well, does this make you feel so good? Anybody want to just jump up and click your heels and woo, it's a Mary Poppins type of world we live in. Nah, it's pretty down. It's pretty dark. Divorce rate amongst Christians is equal to the lost world. One out of two. One out of two of our kids coming out of Bible colleges, one out of two marriages are going to make it. Wow, that's amazing. It's good. It's good. Keep preaching. Yeah. Keep preaching, Pastor Shepard. Yeah, it's kind of hard, isn't it? Is it amazing? My wife and I were talking this past week. Is it amazing that we're on a timetable, aren't we? You say, Pastor, what do you mean? Like, we only have so much time. Like, we're the average age of a male right now is, I think, around the age of 78. And so if I do the calculation, you know, I've only got so many years left. Some of you are in overtime. You know, praise the Lord for you. But the average age of a male living right now is 78. So if I say 37 minus 78, I do the math, you know, I've only got so many more years here to really serve God. I'm on a timetable. Think about this. Satan knows that time's coming, but he's got a lot more time than we do. And so what he sets up is not an instant and now and I want it and you know, I got to hurry because I only got so much time. The psalmist said, teach me to number my days. This isn't ungodly. But Satan's got a lot of time. So Satan over the last 100 years has been setting up to where we are today. To where finally even Israel begins to defend itself. And isn't it amazing? Everything that Satan has set up, even over the last 20 years, did you ever think you would see a time where these news channels, I know they might be a little bit liberal, but MSNBC is putting out who was right and who was wrong. Did you ever think that that would be around 49% saying that Israel is right in defending itself? God said, I'll bless them that bless thee and curse them that curse thee. And when America starts tipping this way, friend, you better hold on and look for a blessed hope because it's going to be over. That's what we do. Just give up. But Jim, let's just go up to Cheddar's and eat, brother, and get our Diet Cokes and you know, feast on our Monte Cristo sandwich and just be done. That's it. It's all over. It's boring. It's awful. Is it awful? Look, Christian, yes. It's awful. But our hope and our strength is not in the government. Amen. Or in Hollywood. Or a poll on MSNBC. Or, I'm not talking to anybody, I'm talking to myself, Facebook, Twitter, TikTok, Dr. Fauci, President Biden, and anybody else you want to fill in there. Our strength is from God. The God who is, are you ready for this? A rock. And that rock will not be moved, nor will it change. Now, everything else changes, and sometimes that's good. But everything else changes. We change. Our bodies change. Our hair gets gray. It falls out. We get old. We get to a place where we can't even. I think I told this once, but remember Brother Lilly said, I said, Brother, how do you know when you're really getting old? He said, you know somebody's really old when you look at their shoes and they tie their shoes on the side. I said, what in the world does that mean? He said, well, that means they can't reach down and tie their shoe anymore. They sit down and they kind of bring it up and they tie it on the side. So if you look here, I'm not too old yet. Amen. Listen now. Our strength is in God, and God is our rock. And when everything else changes, when the world is shifting, when minds are changing, like the wind that just tossed to and fro, or the ocean waves that come in and carry the sand in and out. Listen, when everything else is changing, friend, you and I don't have to. Why? Because our foundation is not in a faulty, corrupt political system. Our rock is in the very Word of God. And friend, this Bible is going to be around forever. And everybody may attack it. And they may try to get rid of it. And they may even pass laws we can't preach it. But friend, I'm here to tell you, this will always be our rock. Always be our rock. But look what the psalmist says here. Look at very carefully. It says this. He says, oh, he said, my Lord is my rock. I mean, yes, God is our stability. But secondly, he says this, God is our safety. What do you mean? He says, and my fortress. So not only is he our stability, God is our safety. David says it like this, a fortress. This surely has a reference to the lofty mountain, the citadels that which David fled when he was running from Saul. And David reminds us that the Lord is a place of safety when Satan is after us. The psalmist said it like this in Psalm 57. Be merciful unto me, O God. Be merciful unto me, for my soul trusteth in thee. Yea, in the shadow of the wings will I make my refuge. Unto these calamities be overpassed. Listen, Christian, in this wicked day, you and I cannot stray away from the Lord. In the wicked day in which you and I live, may it be a day and age that we draw close to Him. Why is it that Christians are struggling and emotional and wanting to give up and I'm done and it's over and we can't get through this and I lost this person, I lost this person, I lost my job and I'm just going to give up. I'm here to tell you, number one, they don't have a rock. The rock ought to be Jesus Christ. But number two, they don't realize the safety that we have in God. The safety. How many men today, by an amen, just the men, if you're married today, say, I want my marriage to last until we go home to be in glory. If that's you today, would men, might be a good time to say amen. Would you say amen this morning? Amen. Can I ask you, what is our marriage built on then? Marriages oftentimes, ladies, gentlemen, are built on looks. Let's be honest, looks aren't always there, are they? They change. What happens? Well, I don't feel in love anymore. No, see, a marriage has to be built upon a rock. Well, excuse me, friend. What happens when we're raising our kids and all of a sudden they're being brought up and they get to be 18, 19. They don't want anything to do with God anymore. I think that's the time we start asking, are we raised our kids based upon a rock and safety in God? Or do we raise them up in just a religious checklist, a religious system, go through the motions, do your thing, and then, back and forth. And when things get bad, well, that's the time we just talk and really beat down on the pastor, beat down on the deacon, or beat down on the Sunday school teacher, or beat down at the Christian school teacher. Or was it a time when things were rough that we found safety in God because God never hurt us? See, we start to question these things. May every aspect of our life be built upon the rock. Why? Because in the rock, we're going to find this fortress. And this fortress is safety. There's safety in our marriage when it's built upon God. There's safety in raising kids when it's based upon the Word of God. There's safety in our lives when you and I, listen now, don't draw closer to, well, what everybody else is doing, or well, what we used to do, or well, what everything's cool and what everything's kind of new age. You know, when we build our life and our system and our relationship based upon our love for our Savior, we are going to find safety in the fortress of God. But watch this. We also see God is our Savior. Look what he says here. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. God is our Savior. David refers to the Lord as his deliverer. The word means one who saves or who rescues or who delivers another from danger. Listen very carefully. Watch. Don't tune out here. Watch. This word is filled with praise and glory. Why? You see, not only did the Lord save us, but we, you and I, continue to be saved. Now, whoa, what do you mean we continue to be saved? You mean we can lose our salvation? No, 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 friend. Listen now very carefully. When this life is over, we will be ultimately saved when we arrive home in heaven. But also, you and I have been saved down here from feeling the bondage of sin that the world is in. The lost world, look now, don't lose me here. The lost world looks at the saved and says, well, I get saved, but my goodness, you guys got so many rules and regulations and standards. Oh, I could never be under that bondage. No, friend, they don't understand. We're not under bondage. When we got saved, we lost the bondage. We're no longer in bondage. I'm no longer under that bondage that I had before I was saved. Now I know what it's like to have real peace. Now I know what it's like to have real joy. Now I know what it's like to have a real Savior. I know what real friendship looks like. A friend that sticketh closer than a brother. A friend that will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Listen very carefully. What you and I have is, yes, we have a safety, but we also have a Savior that is there to deliver us. Say, Pastor, what do you mean? That means this. If you haven't been saved, you don't know what it's like to be delivered. But you can. No, you can. Then you'll know what real peace is. But Jim, I use you a lot because we're great friends and we talk every week. But Jim, you've been saved. Is that correct? Amen. But Jim, would you say, the moment that you gave your life to the Lord Jesus Christ is the day that you felt real freedom in Him?
Amen.
Without a doubt. Pastor Foe, one of my heroes of the faith, just only known him for 6 months now, but I so appreciate you, Pastor. Let me ask you this, Pastor. In your life, and I know it was many years ago, but would you not say that in your life, when you got saved, was the moment you felt real freedom?
Amen. Amen.
And loosed that bondage? Amen. My wife Carrie's here today. Carrie saved at a very early age. I think you were, it was at 4 or 5 years old, got insurance, real blah. Carrie, would you not admit that you felt real freedom in God when you got saved? Amen. Brother Brian, what about you? Felt that freedom?
Amen.
Your religion wants to do, they want to put you back in bondage.
Amen.
Want to tie you down. They want you to go through a checklist. Do it my way. You know, God says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. I'm going to give you real rest. Casting all your care upon me. Why? For I careth for you, friend. I'm just here to tell you that the Cross Point Baptist Church is not a religious system that you come and you pay your dues and you put some money in the offering plate. We'll think about accepting you in our country club and being part of the good old boys crew. No, I'm here to tell you, friend, we are here today to exalt Christ and to preach Him and to show you that what we have received is not something fake. It's not something that can be made up. It's not some just religious system. No, it is the blood of Jesus Christ that saved us and keeps us saved. And friend, I'm just here to tell you, we have great fellowship down here, but for 1,000 years, we're going to be here in the millennium, and then we're going to go up with Him, and we're going to spend all of eternity together. Woo-hoo-hoo. Freedom. See, Brother Drew, I can get concentrated down here and this now and the burdens of today. But you and I can rejoice because we're not here forever. In fact, we're just pilgrims. We're just kind of passing through. We're here for a little while. Carrie and I just a week ago now. My goodness, was that just a week ago? We were down and we were in South Carolina. Guys, we enjoyed being in South Carolina. It was great. It was 82 degrees, I think, just about every single day. Got a pretty nice tan, if you haven't noticed. And we were down there. And to be honest with you, we were ready to come back, weren't we? We were excited. Why? That's not our home. This is our home. We were down there for a week, and we were passing through, and we came back. Can I just tell you, that's earth. We're just here for a little while. And amazing how much we're putting into this little while. How much we're putting into happy, we gotta have the here and the now. And my kids got it, my college kids got it. I gotta build, and I gotta upgrade, and I gotta, my car and this and that. Isn't it amazing how much we put into this old world, friend, to be honest with you? I mean, at any moment he could come back, and at that moment he is, once again, we're realizing he's our Savior. We're not here forever. Do you know him? Because you can. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You can know him. Friend, during this invitation here in just a moment, not everybody's real on board with an invitation. That's okay. I think it's great for us to be able to get on our knees and to talk to him. Now listen, before you put your Bibles away, hold on 1 second. Listen, watch. What if we as a church today, maybe as husband and wives, maybe it's just a college student, a senior in high school, just came out and said, Lord, thank you for being my rock, for being my shelter. Thank you, Lord, for being my fortress. What if we stepped out? I think, once again, it shows our Savior that we are really putting our faith and our trust and all of Cross Point Baptist Church, not based on religion or what we want, but based upon the very Word of God. But, friend, I think there'll be somebody that may follow you out and I out. And we'll meet me right down front here, or Pastor Dan right down front here. We'll meet us right down front here and just... Everybody helps to be doing their thing. Just say, Pastor, I don't know if I really know him. I'll be ready. I'll grab Brother Eric and Miss Amy. I'll grab my wife. There's so many people around here. Pastor, Mrs. Defoe. There's so many, Pastor, that would be glad to take you into a side office and share with you how you can know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. How many would rejoice if somebody got saved today? Would you say amen? See, we're for you. Stop thinking it's over. Stop calling it quits. Stop drowning in your discouragement or depression. Jesus is or can be your